We begin Perek HaSiri, the 10th chapter in the Rambam Sichas Maaseh Sheni in the Sefer Zrom, which we continue on the theme of the previous Perek regarding the second part of these halachas, that of the obligations of Orla and of Revai. And the Rambam begins halacha off regarding whatever is obligated in Orla is obligated in Revai. So kol shu chayv ba'orla, whatever it has the obligations of the prohibitions of the first 3 years, that the fruits are totally forbidden of any benefit. Because the first 3 years, Yesh Le'Revoi has the halacha then of the fourth year of the limitations as we spoke about in the previous parak. B'choshev patim in the Arla, whatever is exempt from the halachas of Arla, in the Chai B'Revoi, it's not going to be obligated in Revoi, like it says in the Pasuk, and Yikra, Shalda Shon Yilchem Arelim, 3 years it should be for you that it's blocked off, or Grema, etc. V'Shon Arviyas, in the fourth year, we'll have those halachas again, they're tied together. Halacha Beis, Ram defines that it's actually dependent on what's the purpose of what you're planting it for. Sha'anatei Yilamachal, but someone plants a fruit tree. Now, Vadaito, I love Shiyasiyog Lagina, but his intention actually was that it should be just a fence for the garden. Oishnatalakari, so he planted it because he wants the wood for beams. And Loila pears, not for the fruits. Harizapatim Narla, so exempt from the Arla, because that's only regarding as relates to its fruits. Now, let's say Natalisyog, let's say he planted it as a fence. Then he changes his mind and says, you know, I want it for the fruits. Or the other way around. Shinatalamach, he planted it for the fruits. Then he changes his mind and says, no, I don't want the fruits, I want it to be as a fence. Kevin Sha'ir by Machshebeshiv. In either one of those cases, since somewhere mixed in over there is a thought that obligates it, whether in the beginning or at the end, so Chayiv is going to be obligated in the laws of Arla. Let's in the Tayyah Shalash Shom L'Syog. Let's say for the first 3 years that it was planted, he had no intention for the fruits, he wanted it just as a fence, which again exempts it from the halachas of Arla. And then he changes his mind after the 3rd year, he wants to have it as his fruits, in the Revai. It's not going to have a limitation of the Revai. Because, like we said, Shakosha Ein La Arla, whatever does not have a halacha of Arla, in the Revai does not have the halacha of the fruits in the 4th year. Not to Elam. Someone plants a tree. And he thinks like this. The inner part of the tree, I want for the fruits. And the outer part I want as a fence. Or a different configuration. I want the lower parts of the tree, the bottom parts, to be as for to eat. And the upper part I want to be as a fence. So, the part that he thought about that he wants for eating is going to be obligated in Arla. And the part that he thought that he wants it as a fence, or for its wood, his part is going to be exempt. Because the thing, it depends on the intention of the one who's planting it, and even for different parts. Now, about Salah, regarding the caper bush, Chayiv ba'arla, the part that's going to be obligated in Arla, is habiyoinis bilvad, is only the actual fruits itself. Ala kafrisin, but regarding the shells, leaves, those things, abataris, those are going to be permitted, those do not have the halachim of Arla. Halacha Daldram continues regarding the placement of the planting and what comes out automatically from it. So on the tail of the Abba Matech Sadev, someone plants for the public, it's for the public, but it's inside his field. Chayba Arla is obligated in Arla. How do you know this? Like it says in the Pasuk, in the Tatim, and you will plant, which is a filler Abba, even though your planting is for the public. Now, Bemed Vermun, when we say this, Be'eretz Yisrael, only in the land of Israel. Bechutzlos, but out of Eretz Yisrael, Pat is going to examine the reason why that is because Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees, he holds that one is Pat even in Eretz Yisrael. And the halacha is whoever's lenient in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha falls like him leniently in Chutzlarts, and therefore in Chutzlarts, one would be exempt. Halacha here on the table, Shusaram, let's say someone plants in the public domain, Oibisvina or in the boat. Or Va'ilim Eilab Rishusar Yachad, or let's say it comes out by itself in a private domain. Or Vagoy Shanato, let's say if a Gentile he plants, mainly so will ask him whether for himself or whether for others. Or Vagazan Shanato, let's say a robber he plants. Either way, all these Chayav and Ba'arla B'Revoi, they're all going to have obligations of Arla and Revoi. Halach Abav. Ha'ilam Eilab B'makam Trashim. Now let's say the tree comes out by itself in a rocky terrain. So Potter, that's going to be exempt because since it's not good land and no one grows trees over there to be busy with that, so it's like being planting for a tree that's not for its fruits. So one is exempt. I fell on the table, Malcolm Shani Yishim, and even some of the plants in the unsettled area that Potter is exempt. Vahu, and what's the qualification of that? Shalaya Isa Kadetipul, it's not worth it to put in the investment, Shemetal Peroisa, that one would invest in the produce at Shemavin Lishim until he's going to bring it to a settled area, because it's not worth an investment. Therefore, that's like a tree that's there, not Leperesa. But let's say it would produce that which would be worth it for its investment, then Chayav Arla, then it would be obligated in the laws of Arla. Let's say someone plants for a mitzvah purpose. Let's say he's planting an esrog tree, not to eat, but for the more profitable lulav business. Let's say olives for to use in the menorah, in the candelabra, in the Beis HaMikdash. Chayav Arla, still it's obligated in Arla. And the reason why that is because since the primary planting is for the fruit, not for the wood, although he doesn't want to eat it, but it'll still be chayav in Arla. Let's say someone first sanctifies and then he plants the tree. So Patr and Arla, that's going to be exempt from Arla because Hekdesh is not Chayv and Arla because it says Yilachem Arelim and Hekdesh is not Lochem. But not of Acha Hekdesh, let's say first planted and only subsequently he sanctified it, well then Chayv Arla would be Chayv and Arla because there's no strength of Hekdesh to uproot the obligation of Arla that already started the moment that he planted it. Halacha Ches. On the table, someone plants in a pot that doesn't have a hole, so it doesn't nourish directly from the ground. So Chayv Arla, it would be obligated in Arla. Why? Although regarding seeds, regarding plants, it's not like the ground, because there's no hole, so it's not direct. But it is considered as the ground regards to trees. And the reason for that is trees have very strong nurturing from the ground. And even though there's no hole in the pot, it's still going to nourish. And therefore, it's considered like as if you planted in the ground to be chayv and arlo. Halacha tes, ilan shenetobe techabais, regarding a tree that was planted in someone's house, still chayv arlo, still obligated in arlo. Now that I'm continuing regarding if a Gentile plants. Zesh shenetoy goyim. If Gentiles planted, actually, boy, I have a single arts. Before our fathers came in biblical times to Eretz Yisrael. So, Potter, such trees are exempt. Ava Meshabol arts, but if it was planted once the Jewish people had entered into Eretz Yisrael, Af Mashanat Togoyim, even what Gentiles planted, Chayiv is obligated in these laws, like it says in the Pasuk, Vachisavayola arts in the Tatim, that when you're going to come to the land, Meshabin is telling the Jewish people in the Tatim, you're going to plant, which is Meshaspia, from when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, that's when the obligations start. Now, halacha yud, goy shehirkev ilan machal agabe ilan srak, because it's forbidden for a Jew to graft. The Gentile grafts a fruit tree onto a non-fruit tree. So, chay barla, that is going to be obligated in arla, because the grafting is like a new planting. So, the clock starts ticking then, and it's the first 3 years that are forbidden. Now, v'yesh l'nachri netter devai, and there are the laws of netter devai for a Gentile. That if he wants to accustom himself in this law, it's going to be sanctified and have the same limitations like the fruits of the fourth year of even a Jew. Lachir Avdur Ram continues regarding the way that something is planted and its attachment to the ground. So, whether someone plants a seed or yichum ilan or a branch of a tree or let's say he uproots the whole tree from its place, when the Tobin Makamach and he plants it somewhere else, all these are forms of planting. And there, that's going to be an obligation. The arla, it's like a new planting, all these different forms. And then you start counting from the moment that you planted. Let's say you only shook the tree, but you didn't uproot it. And then you fill up all the surrounding area with earth to cover all the cracks that happened because you were shaking it from its ground. So if the tree could have survived, even had you not filled up all the cracks all around, so Hari Zapat is exempt from Arla because it's considered as originally was. But if it couldn't have survived, Hariz Kamish Akam not to be chayv. So if it's as if you uprooted and replanted it, and therefore one is going to be chayv, although you even left it in the same place. Let's say a tree was uprooted. But Venishim Minar Sharish Akh, there remains still one root. I feel like a machad, even like that of a needle. Shemalafa in the love of Sachani, what type of needle? That the embroiderers would wind a thread around. Very thin needle. But it's still connected by that one root. And then this tree which was uprooted was put back into its place and was planted over there. Potter, you can be exempt from Mosav Arlam. It could have survived. And if it's not like a new planting. Let's say Nekr Kulay v'Nekr Hasela Shasharashad Ba'imai. Let's say the whole tree gets uprooted. Together with the earth that it's rooted in, falls out with it. V'chaz Netai Kamashuhu. And then you go and you replant it as it is. B'chal Adam Shavivas Shasharashad. But all the earth that surrounds it, its roots. If that tree could have survived with the earth that's surrounding, with all the clods of earth, had you not replanted it, because it could just survive in the earth that's around it, as if it didn't get uprooted, and therefore one would not have the halachas of arla. But again, if it could not have survived, then it's like you're planting it back for the first time now, and one would be chayav in the laws of arla. Regarding a tree that was cut off from its connection with the earth, but then the hechaf. Then the trunk regenerated and grew a tree again. Chayv arla, it's going to be chayv and arla because it's like planting it from new, which we're talking about where the tree is coming out new from the roots. And you start counting the moment that you chopped up the tree, that's like a new planting. Halacha Dal Dram continues regarding planting with the form of grafting. So Echad Anateh, this halacha applies whether you're planting, Ve'echad Hamavrich, and whether you're extending, which means taking an existing tree and sticking it into, let's say, the ground, which then makes a new tree from the ground. Vechad Amarka, whether you're grafting it into something else, Chayiv, all these are considered forms of planting to be liable for the laws of Arla and Revai. Now, when we say this specifically, is B'shechotach Bad Echa Min Ilam, when you cut off a branch from a tree, Vivriche ba'aretz, and then you graft it into the ground, or hikiva b'il nachar, vivriche, you extend it into the ground, or hikiva b'il nachar, or you graft it into another tree. Now, avla matach bar echad mena ilan hazaken. But let's say you only extended that branch from the old tree. You didn't cut it off. You extended it. Vehivrich ba'aretz, and then you extended it into the ground, or hikiva b'il nachar, or you grafted it into another tree. But the ikra bad ma'ir b'il hazaken, the primary branch is still connected to the old tree. Oh, here's a potter. Then you can be potter, because since it's still attached to the old tree, it's not like a new planting. Halacha tezvav. Now, let's say gadol zehayelet shehivrach. Let's say this branch that you extended from this tree, which we just spoke about, which created now a new young tree, va'asapeis, and produces produce. Va'achikach pasik ikare, and then you go and you detach ikare, its connection, its root, shayimo'ir b'il nazaka, which it was connected to the old tree. So you start counting from the moment when it gets disconnected, because that disconnect makes it into its own individual tree, which is like a new planting. Now, vice not pairs. Now, the produce that's already on it from before, which are not permitted, and they should go to the because they grew in the permitted state, because it was grew and it was still attached to the old tree, which does not have any new halachas of arla. Now, but if let's say you left those fruits on to the new tree, after its primary connection to the old tree was cut off, until it increased 1/200 of how much the produce was when you had disconnected it from the old tree. So then those fruits are going to be forbidden, because that's the shear of makes it forbidden. But Arla, you have to have a bittel, a nullification of 200 to 1. If it already grew a 200th, you don't have enough of the old to nullify the new, and that new is going to be considered as Arla, thus making that combination as forbidden. Now, inverse, halacha tezayin, yalda shesivcha basikena. If let's say there's a young sapling which was connected, was grafted with an old tree, which the old tree had already been around for more than 3 years. Now, v'hayu peres b'yalda, now there were arla fruits already on this young tree, which is in the state of arla. And now you're connecting this arla tree into a non-arla tree. So here, the opposite. Afilo hisifu, even if, let's say, the fruits on the young tree, after you grafted it, increased, Masayim 200-fold. In other words, now it's 200 times more than what it was when you had connected it beforehand. Sahareila perisha yaldasur. And still, the produce of the young tree is going to be forbidden. And we're not going to say that the orla amount that was there is nullified into 200 amounts that you have of heter, because what's connected to the old tree is heter. No, why? She'en giduli heter, because the growth of permissibility, which is 200 times the amount of the original, is not malinus ikar asr, does not elevate and nullify the original ones, which was the roots of what it was, which were forbidden. Because since that's the primary part of what it was, before you grafted, it's going to remain asr, even what generally you could be mevatel of 200 to 1 of arla. Halach yidzayin. Ilan shehivrich mimen bad ba'aretz. Regarding a tree which was extended from it, one of the branches into the ground. Va'achkach nekar ilan kulay. So you extended a tree and you put a branch into the ground, which then again, that makes a new tree. And then the whole old tree got uprooted. Now, ironically, it's actually now the old tree, since it got uprooted, is actually only surviving from the branch that was stuck into the ground. So actually, now it's as if that tree was just planted now, and therefore, it's going to be obligated in Arlen. That's the Chiddush, in contrast to what we said in Halacha Tezvav, that even though before it was uprooted, it was a tree on its own, but since now it survived from that branch, so it's secondary to the branch, and the branch is a new sapling, and therefore it's going to actually be chayv in arla right now. U'mayin l'ilan, and therefore you're going to count for the tree. U'lamashat samach min ha'avrocha, and whatever sprouts now from that extending that you were doing, you count mishoshan ekar from the moment where the old tree was uprooted, that's like a new planting of that branch. Halach yitches, harei shehivrich bad ba'aretz b'tzamach. Someone extended a branch into the ground, and it sprouted, which is the purpose of havrocha. V'hivrich bar acher. Now, it keeps on going. V'hivrich bar acher mimashat samach baretz. What had sprouted from the original havracha extension into the ground. Now, another one was extended from that new tree into the ground again. But samach and it sprouted. V'chaz v'hivrich min ha'shlishi. Then they went and they extended from the third one. Afilehen meyim arin zubzu. Even if it's 100 branches that are, that's how they make another tree. You take a branch, you stick it into the ground, it makes a tree. And then you take that branch and going on, they all connected 100 of them. Hoyloi nifsukum in the creation. Since from that whole chain, none of them are disconnected from the first root, which was from the first original tree. Hakol mutar, they're all permitted. None of them are going to have the halachas of arla. They're not considered as their own distinct trees. But v'mnifsek ikarishim, let's say the first one, the first branch that was made into the second tree gets disconnected. So you can count all those 99 trees from the moment it gets detached. That's considered the moment of planting for all of them. Halachi test. Ilon ha'yitzim in ageza. Regarding a tree that comes out of a stump, so patur min arla, it's going to be exempt from arla because it's really considered like a continuation of the original tree. But min hasharashim, if it comes out from the roots, and that's what we'd explained in the previous halacha, that's what it really meant. It meant from the roots. Min chayiv ben yigin chayiv rabbinically, again, you can be chayiv because it's considered like a new planting. Now, yalda b'chusa mitefach. If there's a young tree that's lower down than a hand breadth, that's how small the tree is. Chayev is ba'arlo kol shana. It's actually obligated in arlo all the years, no matter how old it gets. And that's because even if it already passed the 3 years, mishenirutz kinetir b'shnasa, because it looks like a tree in its first year. So it's a rabbinic concern about marasai. Now, but when do we say this, that we're going to consider it as arlo all its years because of just the appearance of wrongdoing? It's v'netiyah achas. It's one sapling, oshtam keneged shtam achas yadzonabo, the smallest amount that we consider generally as an orchard is if, let's say, you have two facing two and the fifth one coming out like a tail. So then, again, it could look like as if like it's a in the first year because it's so small and therefore gives like the appearance of like consuming arlo. Let's say the whole vineyard and they're all so small, less than a handbreadth. So then that word gets out. People could figure that this is obviously something unique over here. And they realize that not necessarily Arla. Then you're going to count only 3 years, and in the fourth year, and that's like you do for all regular trees. You don't make it Arla all the years. Halach Chav Derem continues regarding planting the branch of an Arla tree. So, Naitin Yichur Shal Arla, one is allowed to plant the branch of an Arla tree because, although we say arla is forbidden to have benefit, that's only by the pre, and not the wood, not the branch itself. But ve'enetin egosh al arla, you're not to plant a nut of arla, neshur pri, because that's that gets the fruit. Uperis arla, astur mana, and the fruits of arla, of the fruits in the first 3 years, are forbidden to have any benefit. And if you're going to plant the nut, it's going to sprout peris, it's going to be like having benefit from the nuts. K'meshim ra'an, istur machos, like we explained, the halachas of forbidden foods in perigir halacha test. Now, ve'enetin egosh al arla, if someone violated and he did plant a nut of arla, then what sprouts can be permitted like all other trees. And the reason for this is explained in the next halacha. Halacha chaval. So do you not let a graft, kafnia shal arla, the immature dates of arla, but they call them with a palm tree. Why? Nishu kapri. Again, because those small immature dates, they qualify like a pri. And although generally smadar is permitted in arla, but regarding grafting, they were initially stringent because it's very recognizable. It's like planting arla. Now, other than here, but let's say violet and he did graft in mutas can be permitted. Why? So he explains. I think not have benefit from arla. Yeah, but shakaldavish shleish negarmen, anything that has two causes. Echad asab echad mutter, what's one forbidden, one's permitted, what's called zebezegarim, is this and this are causing it. So what's ultimate cause of the two of them is going to be mutter, is going to be permitted. Therefore, in this halacha, tzemech m'peres arla mutter. Whatever sprouts from planting peres of arla is going to be permitted. You know why? Shahari garm l'tzemeuach, because what causes it to sprout are two things. Hapri ha'asa, the forbidden fruit of the nut of arla, and ba'aretz hamutaris. You need earth, which is permitted. And the two of them combining, so although initially one shouldn't do it, but the two of them together would make the final result as permitted because it's not just a direct result of that which is asa of the arla. And thus the arla, the isra of arla b'hanah. Rather, it's zebezegayim, and therefore it's going to be mutter, it's going to be permitted.